Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
According to Breitbart.com, the NGO Human Rights Watch has compiled some data that found that around 80% of Venezuelans are now short of food. So
this has been happening to some extent up till now.
For a couple few years,
but
yeah.
80% and short of food, that sounds bad.
It's not getting better.
Yeah.
Following a trip to the Venezuelan border with Brazil by a team of health experts from Johns Hopkins University, researchers found that malnutrition continues to rise aggressively, with 80% of households unable to access enough food and rates of malnutrition among 5 years now over the World Health Organization's crisis limit.
This isn't real socialism, Ian. This is state capitalism.
That's not what they would say.
Oh, well, it's state capitalism.
Nicolas Maduro would not say
it's state capitalism because it's not working.
You're saying what a socialist would say who is not from Venezuela, basically.
That's always the answer.
In 2017, the average person lost around 24 pounds in Venezuela. In 2016, it was 19 pounds. It is expected to have risen in 2018.
This is the problem. The problem is that the people who want socialism believe the things that they're told. Well, this is in fact what they wanted. They wanted the ability to take as much of your stuff as they could get and then make themselves happy. There's 20% of people in Venezuela that haven't lost weight. Maduro isn't exactly svelte.
No, he's doing very well.
He's eating fine. That's because Maduro's plan was that Maduro do well. And he did. And he has.
So far. Until hopefully
right.
things turn against him.
At some point or another,
him.
They're going to string him up and put his head on top of a streetlight.
Yeah, you know, I don't want violence to occur, but
this is how it happens. Hungry people kill their politicians.
Yeah, I won't be surprised when that day comes, and I won't be sad for it either.
Right.
When, you know, we lose another politician.
France
oh,
is
no.
the only country I've seen that has the guts to get out and protest before they're hungry.
Yeah, I haven't been following real close over there. I did hear that Will Coley over on the Call to Freedom said that apparently the protests in France are now spreading, meaning they're going outside of France.
Belgium and stuff like that, yeah. They're going further.
You can look at statistics and you can see, oh, well, losing 24 pounds in a year would not be good for most people, especially right. after just losing 19 pounds the previous year on average. So here's a story that actually was published today over at Bloomberg Quint. Editors note, there are a few places as chaotic or dangerous as Venezuela. Life in Caracas is a series of short stories that seeks to capture the surreal quality of living in a land of total disarray. Most weekend mornings, you can find Andrea and her cousins juggling on a street corner. She'll be throwing limes up in the air and catching them just in time to dash over to idling cars before the light turns green. Early on this Saturday, only a handful of motorists rolled down their windows. Most shook their heads, mouthing, "No tengo mi amor." I can't spare anything, honey. She kept her collections in a pink plastic purse, 24 Bolivar, less than a penny, and a packet of strawberry-flavored wafers. By 11 a.m., that was all she'd had to eat. Andrea is 9. Her father is dead. And her mother is pregnant. Can you imagine being pregnant in a situation where you can't get food easily, let alone medical care?
Right.
She's also jobless, her mom. So street children have long been a cause for concern in Venezuela. Their numbers have ebbed and flowed with the economy, but it's never before been like this. Never before with so many young kids on their own all over the city. They are seemingly everywhere, weighing vegetables at market stands, carrying crates of sodas into diners, cleaning parked cars, begging outside of grocery stores, waved away from bars and restaurants.
Where sounds like they're working.
Well, yeah, everybody's got to work. You know, this ain't like the United States where kids get to stay home and, you know, play video games all day. Here, if you want to eat, everybody's got to go out and find something. So begging outside grocery stores, being waved away from bars and restaurants where guards don't want them bothering their clientele. Many toil as cloreros, hawking diluted bleach or cloro poured into water jugs. Sometimes barefoot, often emaciated. Many roam in groups.
Is this to make water drinkable. Like they, you take the chloro and you dump, you put a little bit into some water, and then the chloro, the bleach
idea.
In it.
I'm not sure why you would want to buy diluted bleach. That's a good question.
Right? I don't know either. Wash your hands so you don't get AIDS is the only thing I've ever used it for.
In fact, according to the story here, this recent Saturday, the band from Yare cut the line outside a Catholic church, serving a special holiday lunch to the needy. They each got a new toy. Andrea carefully placing a doll in a checkered dress on her lap. Afterward, they bathed at a square near a shopping mall, scooping up dirty water from a pool and pouring it over their heads, giggling as they chased each other around in their underwear.
While I'm glad that you know kids are so resilient, but it's sad.
While their clothes dried, they spent time underneath a bridge covered in graffiti, playing with knickknacks they'd found, an old keyboard, and a bag of tennis shoelaces. They ignored the trash and feces. At one point, they fought over a plastic bag of the food they'd accumulated, a container of chocolate icing from a bakery, and a couple of slices of stale bread. They dipped their hands into the icing and licked their fingers. Later on, they'll walk to a residential neighborhood to find a quiet place to sleep. If she gets cold, she hugs herself like this, Andrea said as she demonstrated, crossing her arms over her bony shoulders. She favored her right wrist, which she injured a few months ago. Unlike some of her cousins, Andrea goes to school where she's when she's home during the week. Her favorite class is Spanish. Her least favorite is math. She has her future planned. She says, I want to be a lawyer. That way I can help my cousins when they're taken to prison.
Nobody wants to ever blame the government, right? Now, it's okay to blame other people's governments, so the Americans are more likely to blame Maduro, but they're not going to blame, you know, their own government for truly messing things up. The Venezuelans aren't going to... We talked to Venezuelans in Acapulco last year. People who are working in the cryptocurrency marketplace should understand money to some extent.
They should.
And they blamed, did they not? They blamed the website out of Alabama that tracks...
I couldn't believe it. Yep.
That tracks the value of the bolivar instead of blaming Maduro.
Yeah.
Now, maybe it's just really bad to blame Maduro because, I don't know,
he still has his flunkies, you know. He still has his fans, whoever they are.
It sounds like they're hungry, too.
Well, I don't know. That's a good question.
You get the government you deserve. And
do you, though?
Yeah, you do.
Well, I mean, that's it's a flippant saying, but I don't know if it's necessarily true. I think as a collective statement, you could say that, but I don't think individuals get the government.
Not individuals, but that's, you know, sorry. If the governments aren't run by individuals. Yeah. It's a collective thing.
So you asked what you could do to turn this around, and I would say... You know, of course, my pat answer is end the government. But if you're talking about what can you do while still having a government to turn it around,
I think ending the government would probably be disastrous too. There's no good solution here.
Nicolas Maduro hates profits, the president of the country.
He doesn't really. You can tell by his waistline. He doesn't hate profit. Like he benefits profit. If we're talking about this being state capitalism, which many would say, you know, it's just that he lies. It's just lies about what his plans are. So, you know, Nicolas Maduro and his folk, the ilk that run the government, they're not gaunt. No. But the people of Venezuela are.
But my point was going to be about people in search of profits is when you're making a profit in the marketplace, in a true free market, not some sort of government system where they're taking from people by force and then giving the money they take to certain industries like the military industrial complex here in the United States. But when you're actually a free market entity with the ability to create a product or a service and offer that product or service to the marketplace without government coercion involved, then when you make a profit, it's an indicator that you're making people happy, that you're giving people a thing they want or a service they're looking for at a price that they're willing to pay for. And that's why you make profits, because you've got happy customers, unless the government's involved. Again, if the government gets in, then they can screw everything up and give money to bad business people and all that. So profits aren't evil. There's nothing inherently wrong with making a profit. You cannot legally use the U.S. dollar, as I understand it, in Venezuela. You're not supposed to be going into a legitimate store and pulling out a dollar to pay for something with. Not allowed.
Yeah.
It happens on the black market, of course, because that's where all the real business is being done.
Yeah,
now.
People are trading boulevards for dollars on the black market and then using the boulevards to go buy things. But what are the people who are trading for dollars doing? Buying stuff? Is that how they buy things to bring it in, to mm-hmm. get imports?
You have to pay with dollars to get anything brought in, which is why, again, you're short on toilet paper. It's because the toilet paper supplier does not want the boulevard. They want dollars, and good luck finding enough dollars to buy a whole pallet full of toilet paper. Well,
they're doing a lot of smuggling, so people are taking big 5-gallon things of gasoline and hoofing it up over the mountain to whatever the other country is, Colombia. And different countries, and just carrying gasoline in, selling that, getting something for it.
And bringing it back. So, again, the ability to have private property, the ability to start your own business without fear of it being taken over, the ability to use whatever form of money that you want to. Now, luckily, they haven't outlawed people using cryptocurrency because they kind of have to have this we're pro-crypto view now that they have the Petro. So there are people who have been adopting things like Dash and Bitcoin as far as accepting cryptos. I just saw a headline that KFC in Venezuela is apparently going to roll out accepting cryptocurrency, a Dash, purportedly.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Here's the story of the latest on the so-called cryptocurrency known as the Petro. BTCWires.com reporting Venezuela's native cryptocurrency, Petro's price, has been increased from 3,600 sovereign bolivars to 9,000 sovereign bolivars. The country's president announced on national television this Thursday.
That's not really that's just acknowledging that the sovereign bolivar has decreased in value.
That's correct. That's exactly what that's acknowledging. The wallet for the Petro still hasn't been made available.
Yeah.
But the Venezuelan government is still trading the currency nonetheless. Wait, what?
How can they trade it?
They get into that here.
Okay.
President Nicolas Maduro's announcement confirmed that the price hike has been active since Friday. The announcement was made in the same breath as the 150% wage hike for workers in the country. This was the sixth wage hike this year. Hey, they're raising the minimum wage 6 times. These people must be super wealthy now.
Yeah, everything's going great.
Oh, no, they're not.
No.
They're not wealthy at all. In fact, they can't even find food. And with what little money they even have, it's hard to get. Even if you can find food, it's hard to actually buy any. This was a 6th wage hike, echoing the severe hyperinflation that the country's been going through, reaching an inflation rate of over 27,000%. At one point this year, according to Forbes. It's not a cryptocurrency because it's not cryptographically secure, because we don't know what it is. We don't know what security there is. We have no idea what if it even exists, and it's not traded on the market, so we don't have market values, therefore not a cryptocurrency. To add insult to injury, the wallet app for the Petro has been removed by Google from the Google Play Store, as stated by the country's economic minister and ex-vice president Tarek El Assami. Additionally, the Windows and Linux versions of the wallet
You could distribute an app on a website if you want, right?
That's what they're about to tell you about right now.
Okay.
The Windows and Linux versions of the wallet are still unavailable, and the links to download them only show a pop-up message saying...
You could distribute an Android app on a website.
You can do that, too. That's right. Correct. You have to download an APK file.
Wait a second. I know what this is. This is a big, fat, stupid lie.
Yeah.
Google didn't remove this from the App Store, because if you wanted to distribute this, they may have. I can't prove that statement isn't true. It's just unlikely, because only a mouth-breathing dullard would distribute a technology only through Google. I mean, if you wanted to distribute this, just put it on a website and people can go get it.
Right.
I mean,
that presumes they have something.
You're your
to
own
distribute.
Friggin' country, dude.
New Mexico. We're number 2nd now in the nation with the most children auto crashes.
Most children dying in automobile accidents.
Second most.
Mississippi, once again, took the cake. Mm. They're the number one. At least we're better than Mississippi, you know, for many on many categories. It's a 2016 stat. I think that's the latest one. And it's accounting like from 1-year-old to 14-year-old. And I guess it's per population. So it compared to other states, we have like twice as much more children killed in auto crashes than most other states.
Why do you think that is?
So,
assuming it's true.
Well, you know, I have a feeling that, you know, we have these laws, but hardly nobody ever follows it. Like littering law, like dog poop law, dog leash law.
Yeah.
These kind of laws that it's an ordinance, but nobody follows.
Maduro, according to this, again, I'm just to give, you know, because we haven't really talked about the Petro in a little bit, so I'm going back here. Let's look at some of the promises that were made. This was in October of this year. Again, after months and months of them supposedly about to release the Petro, he went on national television, Nicolas Maduro, to announce the official launch of the Petro, according to a summary of his speech posted on their government website on Monday, October 1st. He stated the official website has been launched. That much is true. They have a website. It is petro.gov.ve. That's the website. You can't really do anything with a website. You can download the white paper, which they forgot to update. If you recall, when they first started it, it was going to be an ERC-20 token, yeah. But then they changed it to some other kind of token on some other blockchain in the last minute, and they forgot to update their white paper. Maduro stressed the Petro will be available on 6 major crypto exchanges.
Awesome.
Starting Monday, October 1st.
October 1st.
Yeah.
2018?
Great point. I don't know. The Venezuelan president didn't specify which exchanges will eventually trade the so-called oil-backed currency, nor was it listed by the largest traders, according to CoinMarketCap, such as Binance.
Because it's a lie.
Or others, right? In addition, the Venezuelan president has stated that all of the oil purchases in and out of the country must now be paid with the Petro.
Yeah,
so that basically,
that's a lie, too.
So, yeah, if they're only accepting the Petro for oil purchases, does that mean that no one's buying oil from Venezuela?
No, they're just going through the process of buying the Petro, getting these pieces of paper, and taking their oil.
Initially, in February, the idea was they were going to do a pre-sale, kind of a crowd sale thing to kick it off. That didn't work.
To some extent, they to do this right, they need to have an accounting system that tracks a barrel to a given Petro or that sort of thing, right? So it's one thing to just say, here's a piece of paper that mm-hmm. says that you'll get one barrel of oil.
They're doing that, apparently.
They're doing that. That's one thing. The second level of this would be, here's a cryptocurrency designated token that's good for one barrel of oil mm-hmm. that you can trade with friends, and here's the wallet and all that stuff. So that's another level.
Haven't done that one yet.
No. And the third level of it is, this cryptocurrency is tied, this particular unit is tied to this particular barrel that already exists and is accounted for with a barcode that has been scanned. And that
they're not going to do that.
You can go pick this up. It is available in Caracas, or I don't know, that's the only town in the only place in Venezuela
City,
I can name, and off the top of my head. And you can go pick it up there. It's sitting on the tarmac. Go get it. Now, that's a different story.
They're not going to do that ever.
No. U.S. Department of Homeland Security is interested in acquiring technology solutions that can track newer cryptocurrencies such as Zcash and Monero. I'll bet they are.
These are, for those that don't know, Monero and Zcash are the two kind of noteworthy top privacy coins out there.
Right.
They're two different privacy technologies. Zcash is the zero knowledge proofs, I believe it is called. That's the style of privacy that tech they have. What that means, I don't know. Monero, they use a Monero they actually designed from scratch, whereas Zcash came out of the Bitcoin protocols.
Mm-hmm.
Monero was called Crypto Note, and I think they use ring signature technology for privacy there. Yeah. But
I don't know any of this stuff.
What all that means, I couldn't tell you because I'm not an engineer. However, Monero is the kind of the new kid on the block in the world of the darknet marketplaces. Now, a lot of people might have heard the stories in the news media about the Silk Road. We've talked, of course, extensively about the Silk Road, which was the first underground drug marketplace, and they sold other things besides drugs there, but it was most noteworthy because, you know, there was a lot of drugs for sale on that site. And they ended up, of course, taking the Silk Road down. And back when the Silk Road was created, it was 2011, and all there was Bitcoin at that time. Do you think that there's going to be some computer geek out there who tells the government, yes, it's possible, and then collects a bunch of money trying to come up with something but then fails?
I would bet money on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Department of Homeland Security said that prior efforts have addressed Bitcoin analytics, but now the agency and law enforcement agencies under its supervision are looking into similar cryptocurrency analytics solutions that can be used to track so-called privacy coins, cryptocurrencies that support anonymous transactions. A key feature underlying these newer blockchain platforms is frequently emphasized is the capability for anonymity and privacy protection, the DHS document said. While these features are desirable, they are similarly compelling interest in tracing and understand. There's a similarly compelling interest in tracing and understanding transactions and actions in the blockchain of an illegal nature. Now, the first thing we need to say here is that, yeah, obviously the Department of Homeland Security wants to be able to find out if people are using cryptocurrency so they can find out who's buying and selling drugs or God knows what on the internet, right?
Because they want to know everything about you, everything you do. They want to have a database.
Right. And probably 1% of the time they're going to actually be tracking bad guys, and the rest of the time they're hunting down the rest of us who are just doing whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think it's worth pointing out, the vast majority of drug deals and other illegal transactions, terrible transactions, awful, disgusting transactions, are done in government currencies, specifically
cash,
the United States dollar.
Unfortunately, I think they're going to be pretty successful at getting around some of the privacy protections of some of these privacy coins.
I'm curious.
So if you rewind back to March of this year, there was an Intercept article.
Wish I could. I'd do some crypto trading.
Well, yeah, indeed. But, if you go back, the Intercept actually published, the latest from Snowden and, some of the snooping techniques that the NSA uses, and specifically what they were doing in terms of cryptocurrency. As part of the article, they interviewed Matthew Green, who, if I'm not mistaken, is one of the co-founders of Zcash, and he said regarding the NSA's, snooping techniques, what they're doing makes privacy cryptos, quote, totally worthless, right? And so when you look at this request for, like, the pre-purchase request, as it were, right, and you read the document, what they're really asking isn't, hey, is it possible to do this? They already know it's possible, and they probably have a working model. And if you read that request statement, what it's really looking for is more of a pluggable infrastructure to, as part of phase one, yeah, we want to be able to track Monero and Zcash.
This is from The Onion's AV Club. Headline, The Truman Show was a delusion that came true. When The Truman Show was first released 20 years ago today, it was viewed as a parable about television and celebrity. Quote, if you think The Truman Show's an exaggeration, wrote Roger Ebert in his 4-star review at that time, he said, continuing, reflect that Princess Diana lived under similar conditions from the day she became engaged to Charles.
Yeah.
In a review titled The Audience Is Us, Jonathan Rosenbaum picked at the logistics of the premise. Would anyone actually watch this program? Could we possibly be so dumb? And what would the camera do when Truman takes an S? Now, let me explain briefly what this is. And I think they talk about it a little bit in the article, but in case you haven't seen the movie, and probably a good chunk of our audience hasn't, The Truman Show was like the first reality TV show, basically.
Yeah.
Truman, the character, Jim Carrey, was being watched constantly by cameras.
It wasn't reality TV because he was acting, but it was
No, he wasn't acting.
Yes,
no,
the
he
character.
Was not. He was... Well, I see what you're saying. Jim Carrey was acting as a character in the movie, but we're talking about the character Truman.
I'm a disabled Marine. When I called earlier, you were talking about Maduro.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to me, Sanders, Farrakhan, Sharpton, so many big-time figures, movie stars here in the U.S., 10, 12 years ago were calling that paradise. They were calling it utopia. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember. Didn't Danny Glover meet with who was the guy before Maduro? Ian, who was the guy
Chavez.
Before? Chavez. Yeah, I met with Chavez and that sort of thing. It was supposed to be the big experiment. It was supposed to really work out.
Very helpful. He gave free tattoos to anyone in the country that wanted to get a tattoo of Chavez on their arm.
Great.
You knew that, right?
No, it's funny.
It's gross.
Yeah. You could absolutely get Chavez tattooed on your body for free.
Horrifying. All right.
I mean, that's what I've always wanted, a dictator tattooed on me.
Well, he's not a dictator to everybody. He wasn't a dictator to everybody. If he was he was the one on your team, then you liked him, right?
No. He's got about a top 15% that are his team.
Right.
And that they're sharing all the money.
Right.
The point I want to make is that it doesn't matter that the crypto transactions are spied on by the NSA or whatever the article that he has. It just doesn't matter for the value that cryptocurrency brings. The majority of transactions in this country are legitimate transactions.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority, I mean, probably over 95%, 98% maybe, are legitimate transactions. And it doesn't matter if the government sees those or not. They're seeing them now.
Right.
But the real tech is behind the blockchain and what crypto has brought in terms of making, transactions cheaper, making them happen a lot faster and making them, maybe searchable. Maybe that's a good thing to have something that can be searchable.
Absolutely, it is. I mean, I love being able to just go on the blockchain and look up a Bitcoin transaction that I did to make sure it went to where I thought it was going to go to. Somebody says they didn't get it. I'm like, well, yeah, you did. It's right there. You can see it.
Exactly. And so, it would be nice to track transactions, and that'd be very useful to a bunch of people. So the usefulness is not in the fact that it's private. Yeah, there are some that have that feature.
One woman became convinced that she was a webcam. Psychiatrist who coined the term told The Telegraph, quote, "These are not people who want to be famous. Quite the contrary, they want to be left alone." And now another decade has passed.
I'm a walrus. Coo-coo-coo-choo.
What should we make of the Truman Show in 2018, the era of the reality TV president? In a lot of ways, it's a charmingly anachronistic film, not just in its Norman Rockwell version of suburbia, but in its very concerns and most outre sci-fi concepts. The story follows Jim Carrey as a man whose every second from birth onward has been broadcast to an adoring audience of billions. At the film's outset, a piece of lighting rig falls out of the sky, and Truman grows increasingly aware of the falseness of his reality. Peter Weir, working with graceful scale from a script by Gattaca's Andrew Nichols, cuts between Truman, his adoring real-life viewers, and the preposterous Christoph, Ed Harris, a beret-wearing maestro lodged in a control booth on the moon. Christoph orchestrates Truman's entire reality, introducing a comely new co-worker as things begin to fizzle with his wife, for example, and also works to keep him trapped there. The show began as an infomercial to sell baby food, but as Truman grew, so did the soundstage, eventually housing a full operating city. We would do this, the film insisted. We would watch a man merely live a life out on television.
Yes.
Rather than living one ourselves. We would turn a nobody
into... This is how I feel about the kids who watch YouTube videos about people playing video games.
Mm.
This is how I feel
like
about Twitch. Yes. I just don't understand. I get that you might watch a YouTube video about how to win in a particular area in a video game.
Yeah.
But just
watch the playthrough.
Let's just sit down and watch somebody play a video game and then maybe yell and there's a lot of noises and talking.
Mark that for tomorrow night. We're going to do a Twitch after show tomorrow night, and we can talk about that. We would turn a nobody into a celebrity through sheer collective will. As reality television increasingly gobbled up people's attention in the ensuing years, it was fair to think that the movie had been right. In 2003, The Joe Schmo Show one-upped the film's premise, casting an everyman on a fake reality show where a group of actors played not real people as in The Truman Show, but stereotypical reality show roles. At the end, they revealed the ruse, giving Joe Schmo $100,000 and a lifetime of humiliation for his trouble. A then-unknown Kristen Wiig received a head injury in the process. There's always the thread of wish fulfillment running through speculative fiction, even at its most critical, and the same is true of The Truman Show. Like reality TV, it assures us that we could be special.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.